All right, let's play this game where David finishes the sentence that I propose and throws in his thoughts. And let's start with the Dallas Stars need a bounce back season from blank.
I mean, it's got to be Thomas Hartley. Well, I take it back. I would say Jake Ottinger. I think Jake Ottinger, they're both close. I feel like Hartley and Ottinger are close, but it's got to be Ottinger just because, you know, when we talk about sort of, you're talking about a team against a cap crunch, right? You know, you have a number one goalie that's paid like a number one goalie that is not giving you number one goalie results. Like, he's just got to be better. And I think he has the capacity to do that. I think the question for Robert, for Ottinger, has always been, well, when are we going to see it? Like, when are we going to see? And I think he has value in terms of, you look at, especially his underlying numbers, he's very, very consistent, but still like doesn't have that steel game quality that you get from other goaltenders that are paid like number one goaltenders. And also plenty of goalies that aren't paid like number one goalies. So I think Ottinger kind of tops the list, because if Dallas kind of has a situation like last season where you're not getting his best and you've lost Maverick Bork. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, you know, sort of that, you know, wild card spot is, you know, looking a little warm for Dallas's seat.
Speaking of wild card, David finished this sentence. David's wild card to put the Stars in the top three and not a wild card position, the player is blank. That was a Justin poor structured sentence, by the way. But
no, I got it. I was having so much trouble. Like, it's got to be Justin Ritzkovian.
Interesting.
And I'm personally skeptical because I think he's a solid little player, man. It really, the job that he did, like, you cannot give him enough flowers for what he was able to do in his first season. But he is an older player, right? Especially for a prospect. So, but nonetheless, like, it's so critical, right? If Robertson, Hintz, and let's say Sagan is your top line, and they had great, great results last season, it's critical that Johnston and Rantanen, as we've seen, have a complementary player. I don't believe Ritzkovian is that guy, but if he can turn into that guy, that's huge.
I think that, I don't know if you've read my scouting report that I send to you of why I should scout for you, but I think you remember I was on the Justin Ritzkovian bandwagon pretty early. But I'm going to put Tyler Seguin as far as a wild card, just for the simple fact, you know, it needs to stay healthy, which I know is a huge question mark, but we talk about, you're right, the loss of that secondary scoring with Maverick Bork. I really do feel as though Tyler Seguin can give you 20 to 25 goals if healthy, which is just such a major factor. We don't know what's going to happen. But a healthy Hintz and a healthy Seguin, wow, and those are big ifs. I think those are game changers. So I'm gonna throw, but I agree. I mean, it's going to be interesting what Ritzkovian becomes. So I think you're absolutely right there. Like, you know, if he stays like he is, solid NHL. But is there another level? Which I think we always wonder, you know, with these players. We, you know, you and I always talked about Maverick Bork. Unfortunately, we saw it a little bit too late. We were just starting to get the Maverick Bork that you and I really, really loved. And I give you credit, you were always high on Maverick Bork. You always thought that this level could be obtained. It was. We saw it late in the year and in the playoffs, and he was rewarded in Nashville with a new contract.
And kudos to him, man. That was well earned. And also he just improved a lot of his game. You know what? Let's not talk about Bork because it stings too much. Getting back to kind of your point, I think that's a great answer because Seguin, man, it's hard to imagine him missing another full season. But yeah, you know, we said that once before and it happened again. And obviously it's not going to get easier on his body, but that's kind of why sort of, I think both answers kind of really reveal kind of what this team could look like and why running it back might not be the worst thing, because if Sagan has taken over the Bork role and given you similar production, and Ritzkovian has another layer to his game, and then you have Sam Steele with Matt Duchene and Jamie Benn. Say what you want about Jamie Benn, that line was really good last season, and mm-hmm. they would have stayed together if it wasn't for the injuries. So all of a sudden, that's a pretty strong top nine. And it would have been a strong top nine regardless. I mean, you know, you have these like elite players, they're going to break, you know, games open for you. But nonetheless, like, I think Stars fans are kind of sleeping on what exactly running it back means and what it has potential to look like. Yes, there's plenty of room for criticism and slight dooming, but there's also room for optimism.
Based on what Artu Huru did last year and Justin Ritzkovian coming up pretty quick in the season and doing what he did, the Texas star that David feels could make an impact in the NHL next year is blank.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Emil Hemming. And again, this is not coming from anything that I've ever like heard in terms of inside whispers. In fact, all the insiders, you know, are highly skeptical and would probably just kind of, you know, poo-poo that answer to begin with. I just think that if certain things don't break, you know, if, for example, like Sagan doesn't play all 82 games, if Ritzkovian doesn't really have kind of the level that they need in that top six, as long as Hemming can do his part in the AHL, I just feel like there's going to be a very strong appetite to include a brand new talent, make it look like, hey, we had no problem losing Bork. We had a guy that was ready to take his place. And Hemming, a right winger, speed, size, plenty of experience on the power play as well as the PK. His profile is almost just like too perfect not to get an opportunity. And I think that's kind of why I'm sort of willing to go out on a limb. And the same way I went out on a limb for Artu Huru. What did I just call him? Artu Huru. I'm so sorry. I'm used to the silly Discord nicknames that we have for. Because Huru was another guy. I thought he would get the position over Ritzkovian, but still ended up being a player that Gullitson was willing to trust. And just to add to that Hemming discussion, Gullitson has shown himself, to his credit, willing to play the young players and then giving them rope. There it is, man. I think that reality is much closer than people might think.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dylan Ritzkovian. I think that his age and experience playing in Hockey East will pay dividends. I like what he did in the Calder Cup playoffs. I think probably based on his experience, but pretty amazing that the Texas Stars had him on a top line going, you know, into the playoffs when he just arrived on the scene. So everything I heard is not like his brother as far as the play, but like his brother as far as a rink rat and wanting to be around the rink, wanting to improve. And I'm interested to see the numbers he picks up in his first full year of Texas. I know that, you know, when the prospects were just here, he was someone that stood out. And I just see, like, stood out at Northeastern, stood out, you know, with the Stars and the Calder. I'm just seeing signs that he could have a breakout where people are like, oh, okay. But I agree. I mean, what Hemming did in juniors this year got me so energized. And David, I think you and I were talking about this. I credit the organization. Maybe they had to make the move, but you know, sometimes putting your first round draft pick back in the juniors, I mean, it's been done before and everything, but it was a very smart move by the organization doing that. And I think it's going to pay dividends. It got his confidence back.
Well, I think what I liked about it is it was a very flexible move, right? You gave him the opportunity to kind of, you know, get a taste of the AHL. You probably would have preferred to keep him around if he had performed, but it's sort of it allowed them that option. It allowed them that option of, you know, finding out a little bit more about this particular player by, you know, putting him in two different environments. And you know, he still had something to prove in the OHL, right? You know, this is a player that I think part of my initial skepticism, part of why I initially kind of was a little down on part of the reason why I was a little down on Hemming is that he didn't produce like a top line prospect in his first year. And giving him that second go around, he just kind of smashed all expectations, produced like a top, you know, like a top prospect. And not just because the goals were there and not just because he was excellent in the playoffs, but because he really rounded out his game. He's a player that seemed to add a little bit of speed, a lot more net front drive. And for a player that is kind of considered primarily a shooter, even added some playmaking as well. So yeah, like just high marks all around for Hemming. One of the reasons why I'm just kind of so optimistic that he can be a real player, you know, much sooner than I think people think.
And let's just finish with defensively, not necessarily a question, but just your overall thoughts. Nils Lundqvist, does he continue to evolve? Do we feel as though there's a next part of his game? And is there pressure on Liam Bitschel with the experience that he's gaining as a first round pick with that size to at least compete on that second line pairing?
So with regard to Lundqvist, I would say that I think what he gave Dallas at the end of the year and into the playoffs is I think that's his ceiling. I think that's what he's going to give you because, you know, he has like certain limitations. He's not like a, you know, he's not a fast player despite his profile as a puck mover. You know, he's really a guy that can capitalize on sort of in zone play. And that's fine because I think what he showed in terms of development was better defense. And so as long as he can just be steady and consistent, that's plenty, you know, especially when you're behind players like Heiskanen and Harley and Lindell. Like, I think he's doing everything you could ask for him. I don't think we're going to see anything, you know, new or like, you know, interesting wrinkles to his game, but I think he's already shown enough. And I think we'll see that next season. And it'll probably be more pronounced assuming Harley is kind of returns to form. And as far as Liam Bitschel, That's so hard to say because he's still so young. There's still so much runway in terms of development. But it's always going to be difficult for him to really kind of prove himself because he's a left shot defender and he's behind a bunch of left shot defenders, right? You know, he's not going to break into the top four because whether it's Harley on the second pair or Lindell on the second pair, there's just no world where he's kind of playing those minutes. And so he's essentially kind of left to kind of fend for himself with Tyler Myers, which, I mean, you know, there's a ton of like height on the back end, but how much skill and chemistry is there? And I think my skepticism of that is maybe why it's kind of hard to really evaluate Bitschel on those terms because he's not in an ideal environment right now. He kind of is because, you know, Dallas is a good team and he's not asked to do much, but where's the opportunity for him to show more? I don't think that opportunity is just there. Just on principle.
And finally, a team to watch in the Western Conference, team to watch in the Eastern Conference. Like David's like, hey, keep an eye. I mean, you and I talked to Anaheim last year, Buffalo, just kind of an oddball team. I mean, we know the favorites going in, but what's a team that you are off season? I mean, I'll give you mine just to give you a chance to think. I think the LA Kings had a really good offseason. Not necessarily a fan of the coaching hire. You know, I mean, it's okay, but I just like the LA Kings setup, and I'm interested to see how they perform. I think injuries really hurt them last year, and I'm going to throw an oddball in the East. Losing a Tkachuk is never easy, but I actually really like what Ottawa picked up. With the salary cap flexibility that they had, I think Steve Staios is doing a pretty good job in Ottawa as far as acquisition. So I know everyone thinks since Tkachuk went to Florida that Ottawa is dead. I actually think Ottawa is a playoff team next year.
Oh man, so many good candidates. We could like have. We need to do like a non-Stars hockey podcast. Man.
I love it. Let's do it.
I would say, so man, I want to talk about Anaheim, but I'll say San Jose. San Jose is kind of like an obvious answer, just because like they're just must watch TV to begin with. But I feel like a lot of sort of my fellow chart huggers, which I don't belong in that category because I don't actually like code or like do run any models like they do. But I feel like a lot of people hated those moves to bring in Nurse and Trouba, and it was just like a ton of money. And you know, Greer, what are you doing? But I feel like all of that grossly understates how terrible their blue line is and what an upgrade Nurse and Trouba are just in principle. Right. So because, you know, for all of their faults, like, well, they're functional defensemen. That's a functional blue line now, between Orlov, Nurse, Dickinson, Trouba, you know, even some of their prospects like Cagnoni. So you throw in that with the additions of Mason Marchment and Ivar Stenbark, who I love, man. It's like that in addition to the continued development of Chernyshov, who I also love, and Michael Misa, who I think is going to like quietly, I can't remember what his point totals were. I think they were really low. I think it was like 30 points, but like didn't really have opportunities, but very, very quietly effective. And he's kind of that kind of player. So I feel like if Anaheim falls out, I'm not all that shocked. I don't think they will, but I'm not shocked if San Jose actually makes a wild card when you look at the kind of the madness that's gone on and just how much better they got. Again, better they got defensively compared to in proportion to what they previously had. So they're definitely my team in the West. In terms of the East, hate to say it, man. I don't like them. I'm always rooting for the demise, but it's got to be Toronto. And I realize that's hard to say because the Atlantic is just so brutal. But if Gavin McKenna is even like half the player that we think he is, I mean, and Tanev is healthy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard for me not to see them. And a lot of this depends on Matthew's health as well, right? There are a lot of X factors, but even though I didn't like a lot of their moves, the fact that they won the draft lottery, I think that can kind of take them pretty far. And, you know, it wouldn't be shocking to see a team like Ottawa, who I agree, I like their moves, but, you know, you throw a Toronto team that's like healthy and that's like add in someone like Gavin McKenna. And I can't remember what their other move was this season, but they made some other addition. Radish, that's right. Radish, which is a really great addition. Could go either way, but it's hard for me not, like, I wouldn't be surprised, kind of like with San Jose, I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto makes the playoffs next season.
Yeah, I think that's a really, people aren't talking and he re-signed with them because I know it was for a lot of money and it's not as much money this time, but John Tavares had 71 points last year. And I know the team wasn't great, but Tavares has been really good in Toronto.
That's like, kind of taking
taking a back seat to Austin Matthews and other players, but he really took a leadership role as well. So, that's been a good signing for Toronto, but kind of under the radar. People don't talk about it anymore because it's like old man Tavares still skating around, but 71 points. That's a banger of a season in that division, as well, man. We're at an hour, so we got to go, but this has been a lot of fun, David, man. You always bring it. I really do appreciate you. Sorry, we're going to miss you on August 11th, but the good news is, so we're going to pack the house and we're going to do it again. And we'll have David Castillo along for the journey because you have been so great to this program and you add just a lot of flavor to the show. And I truly appreciate it. Just tell us real quick what you have coming up. Tell us some of the things that you're talking about, as far as your Substack, Star Stack, or your other Substack, that you do, Sticks and Salvos.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much just kind of did the shameless plug for me, right? So at the Star Stack, I've been running report cards every day. I'll run them each day into like August for every player. The hints one was really interesting because, when you dig deep, it's kind of funny that hints is even strength ice time per game is like There are 200 plus players that play more even strength minutes than Hintz does per game. So anyways, kind of talked a lot about that. We did Wyatt Johnson today, Sticks and Salvos. I'll be kind of talking about Utah and kind of some of their offseason moves at Sticks and Salvos tomorrow. And then, of course, the D-Magazine, I'll be writing something, should be writing something this month. I was on their show yesterday, and I don't, it might have gone up today. Haven't had a chance to kind of check social media because I try to avoid it as much as possible. I'm just kind of stay on the Discord where I can just kind of tune everything out. But yeah, be sure to watch my appearance on D-Magazine show where I really went in depth on the Jason Robertson discussion and a little bit about the Star season in general.
I love it. I love it. You are the man, David. Thank you so much as always, man. This was a great one.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone for joining us. This off season has been absolutely terrific. It's been a silly season, but you've been along for the ride and I truly appreciate it. We're all going to celebrate together on Tuesday, August 11th at Boomer Jacks. It's their Fairview/Allen location. I say Allen, it's like right on the line. Technically it's Fairview. So just to let you know, 6 to 7, it's going to be like a little cocktail hour, just get together. And that's your opportunity to meet everyone that's going to be there. Some quality time with Stephen Meserve or Leah Simakopoulos or Sean Shapiro or Robert Tiffin. I'll be in the corner watching you, but if you want to talk to me, that's good too. You know, it's just going to be a fun time. And bring your friends out. This is not the kind of event where this is a hockey celebration. I'm almost like not calling it a Spits and Suds event because I don't want people thinking like it's just about the podcast. The podcast will be a major part of that, and that's going to be at 7, and that's going to be fun. We'll have a live Q&A as well. So we'll have a lot going on, you know, for that, and it'll be a real good, healthy Dallas Stars discussion with our panel. But basically, it's like bring your friends. It's you know, it's August. What a great time to really get excited about hockey. We're going to take pictures. We're going to have tons of giveaways. So it's going to be great. Once again, Boomer Jacks in the Fairview Allen area right off 75. Some of you ask, where do I get tickets? The bottom line is, you know, sometimes this is funny as I run 105.3 The Fan. Sometimes we charge for things. We try not to. But there is the thought, if I buy a ticket, I'm more obligated to go. So I'm going to challenge you that this is completely free because I didn't want you to spend money. I want you to spend your money at Boomer Jacks. I want you to buy some Frosties. I want you to enjoy it with your friends. Get appetizers. Get dinner. Just have a blast and put the money back into you and your buddies and Boomer Jacks. That's where I want you to spend your money. Now, the caveat to that is the obligation to go. So if we do this and it's a success, and I'm sorry to get on my soapbox, but if we make this a success, then we can do it again and other ideas and we can grow together. So it's really, really cool. I'm super excited to see you guys in just a few weeks. Special thanks to David. Special thanks to Gregory Finley. He makes this program happen. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to the on-time experts. Until our next podcast, which will happen tomorrow morning with Sean Shapiro, have a great day, everyone.